Mr. President, do you trust the U.S. intelligence or Putin?
Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, China.
Welcome to Gay Talk 2.0, the ultimate podcast for your dose of dish.
All right. Why can I not hear myself? This is crazy. Anyway, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Gay Talk 2.0, the ultimate podcast, streaming live on Digital Stream Radio. You can listen live every Monday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time by visiting digitalstreamradio.com. On today's show, we're going to welcome Adrian and Clay, the couple that spearheaded the fight all the way to the Court of Justice of the European Union. Their fight ended in a landmark ruling that ultimately allows same-sex couples the right to move to and from other EU states with full recognition of partnership and residency. My name is Tom, and I am your host. And as always, I'm here with my incredible friends, starting with the first one.
Hey, y'all. Nick or Trish.
And
I'm back. Good to be with you guys. It's Chris.
Welcome you all to
The Dish.
So we've got so much to cover, so much to do. What's going on, guys? How are you?
I'm great. I had an insane week.
We have been, at this point, not in the same room for quite a while. It's been over a little over a week and a half, almost two. Mm-hmm. And I'm excited that we're all back on the table and ready to dish.
We're not on the table. We're sitting at the table.
Right. Yeah. We do have chairs.
But you never know. Sometimes you're on the table and it happens.
We're sure to be under the table by the end of the show. I can guarantee that part at least.
So I'm eager to talk about our weekends because I know that so much has happened. Trish, you were on vacation for quite a long time. So I'm going to kick it off to you. Tell me what you did on your vacation.
Yeah, so I've been on vacation since the 4th, and it's been amazing. And I could finally officially announce that I have a new job, which is super exciting. I am leaving my company management role at the theater, and I'm moving into corporate giving with the development department. So I'm super excited about that. And so they offered me the job, and then I was like, I'm going on vacation. So I was off from the 4th until today. So today was my first day back. And it was just so amazing and relaxing to be away. You know, I had to work at the bar the weekend after the 4th, and then we had the show last week, but then I had an impromptu trip to Nantucket, which was just amazing. It was like I was living in a bubble, and I was there for only 2.5 days, but it was like, I literally felt like I was there for a month. It was so amazing. Nantucket is amazing, and the people that I got to meet and spend time with were out of this world amazing, and I can't wait to get to know them a little bit more, because she's going back!
Maybe she can learn a couple new adjectives other than amazing.
It was so nice not having him here last week. Like, so nice. I'm going to say it was greatly, like our president, that's not our president, would say, it was greatly nice to not have you here.
Because you couldn't use awesome because you already used that on a burrito. Thanks, Dave Hartman.
So, you know, the thing was that he was off for that long of a period, and he kept rubbing it in every single time.
That's not true. You would just be like, you're a crazy alcoholic. And I'm like, no, I'm on vacation, and I'm having a cocktail on the beach.
And thanks for rubbing it in. I wanted to be an alcoholic and have, you know, a cocktail on the beach too.
So I took this awesome photo. Actually, no, my friend took the photo. And it was a great, great photo. And then next thing I know, I send it to Tom, and Tom's like, oh my God, that is great. Of course, you have to have a fucking glass of alcohol in your hand.
Absolutely.
No, but so Trish and I have been talking about what would be some of like the cover art for his website for the Love is Love podcast, which we're currently still, working on getting up and started. We have this fall is our deadline. And so I said, you know,
by the way, I started a new job too. So decided to start the podcast and then got offered a new job. That was a smart decision.
So maybe you can expect the podcast in winter. Who knows?
No, it'll be in the fall.
I hope so. So so I said, you know, you should really get a nice picture, something that will allow you to have like a very awesome side profile of you maybe looking into the ocean or something, and so that you can put it in, and then make sure that you are more to the left of the picture so that you can write stuff into the open space of the picture. You know, just me thinking ideas, and he sends me this picture, and I'm like, oh God, he's got a cocktail in his hand.
But I mean, like, how perfect is it? Like,
the cocktail makes it better, because before the cocktail was in hand, it sounded like the cover of a Christian rock band, to be honest. I'm not going to lie.
No. Like, but you can also see my ganglet and the rainbow on my foot. So,
but it's Christian. It's the Love Is Love podcast. No, it's not the I Love to Drink podcast. Okay, so you know you got to pick your battles.
But we're also going to be talking about my, you know, role, like me becoming into dating and like myself and all that stuff. And you don't think alcohol is a part of that, girl?
I think it shouldn't be. But
is it going to be amazing?
You know what, Chris? It is going to be amazing.
It is going to be amazing.
It's going to be amazing.
It is. I agree. You are going to do
very
well.
And you're a dick. Welcome back.
It's just so nice to be back with you.
So I can't with them. I ended up having, finally, after almost a year, right? This August, it'll be a year in my new home. I decided to finally have a housewarming party, and it went really well. Nick was supposed to help me, but he disappeared for 2 days.
That's not true.
Nantucket.
I helped you a lot.
No, he did, but late. Because he was supposed to come Thursday, and he's like, I'm staying another night. I was like, I kind of figured that would happen.
It was an accident. We missed our ferry, and then we missed our flight.
How can you miss a ferry? I mean, you are the ferry. Like, seriously. But anyway.
I didn't get where you were going with that at first, but now I get it.
So,
I'll take that as a compliment, though. I am the fairy.
Yeah, a very nice one, too. No, but, you know, I said, you know what? Live your life. You're on vacation. Fine. I'll deal with it. I'll make it work. And I did. And then he came back Friday, and he did a Madonna and a quick tornado. And next thing you know, boom, we've got a party.
I fucking mowed this bitch's lawn.
Halfway.
In heels?
No.
Oh, no, but when I put your fucking mower away... When I was sashaying down the hill.
Oh, she was going down that hill like she did have heels. But it was, you know, overall, it was an amazing, amazing time. Very intimate, very small. Nothing too big. Lots to drink. Lots to eat.
I feel like I would never hear that come out of your mouth besides this one situation. It was very intimate. Nothing too big. It was small. Like
no, but you know, I mean, we had a lot. We certainly had a lot of food. We certainly had a lot of cocktails, beers, and stuff like that. And we had some kids that showed up as well. Candace, who runs the...
All over the age of 21.
Right. Except for the children.
Yeah. There were kids.
Oh, you were here.
I was saying, because you said it next, like right after the alcohol part, I was like, well, only the 21-year-olds were indulging in alcohol.
Well, yes. Anyone over the age of 21 was indulging in alcohol. Children had little popsicles that I had bought for them, and they had some juice and sodas and things like that, and burgers and hot dogs.
I was like, we got to be careful, because DHS is definitely listening to all of our episodes.
Who's getting delivered? Did you mean DCF?
Department of Homeland Security?
Oh, no one's getting deported.
That's ICE. Well, and you.
This just got really crazy. But no, overall, so Candace from the Breezy Moms podcast, who records on Thursday here on Digital Stream Radio, she came by with her husband and her children. We had a great time.
By the way, can we talk about how hot her husband is?
Isn't he?
He's a hunk.
All right. Well, don't say it too loud because, you know, Candace will beat you down.
Well, Candace, bring it, girl. But your husband, you showed me pictures of him. And then in person, I was like, oh, hi. And you hadn't gotten here yet. And I was like, oh, hi.
Now, James is a sweetheart. He's a great, great man. Awesome to work with. I work with him outside of the podcast. We work together in my real job. But he's awesome. So it was overall for me. It was a great weekend. I think the
highlight of your party though was your neighbor.
my neighbor. I feel like maybe I shouldn't talk about this because who knows? Maybe he will become a friend and then one day he'll listen. But he was psycho.
I wasn't talking about that neighbor.
No, I was.
I don't want to know about psycho.
No, I okay. So I have a neighbor like four doors down. He just walked into the party. I don't know him, right?
He had Bernie Sanders hair, okay?
Yeah,
that's a win. That's okay. I'm like, come on in.
So I went inside to take pictures of Candace's kids sitting on the chairs, like if they were on the radio show. And when I come out, everyone's, yo, there's someone here looking for you. And I'm like, who? And when I turn around, I'm like, who is this? And he's like, he's your neighbor. And I'm like, Oh, that's the daddy from like four doors down. And yeah, he just walked right into the party.
With Bernie
hair? Yeah.
So like, we got beer, vodka, and free healthcare for all. Go help yourself.
And pick your plan.
He just walked in and made himself at home and grabbed the beer and started talking to people. And he was like, yo, this is awesome. You know, very ultra macho. And then he took a couple of my guests to his house and they started having shots over there and they kept walking back and forth.
Are you serious?
Like a black fucking party. That's
like
amazing.
Seriously. It was really incredible. And you know, he was cool though. By the end of the night, he was cool. He got us some wood. some firewood.
Oh, for the, yep.
For us to put into the little chimney thing that I have in the backyard. Although it was very hot, but still we lit a fire. Because, you know, at night, it's always nice to have a little bit of ambiance.
I know, I'm sitting there having a conversation with somebody, and it's already hot outside. And I'm just like, why am I so hot? And he just looks at me, he's like, Nick, you're sitting next to a fire. I'm like, why am I so blonde sometimes?
She's Nick. But overall, it was great. So, Christopher, how was your weekend?
I worked.
Oh, okay. Yeah. On that note, two stories. No, I'm kidding.
No, I was good. I worked. I found out that I'm getting a new apartment, which I'm going to be moving into in a couple weeks. Which I'm
that's
very
awesome.
Excited for. Yes, I'm going to be moving to Brantford.
Oh, she bougie now.
Yeah. Just so a little bougie. Just a little bougie. No, and then yesterday, I watched the World Cup. Croatia didn't make it. France won. But it wasn't like I wanted France to lose.
But
I wanted Croatia to win.
Everyone was rooting for Croatia.
Croatia, because it was such an underdog World Cup that we were. But we picked a cocktail today. Or I picked a cocktail today because France won in honor of them.
Before you move on to the cocktail, I want you to share with our listeners what you said to me earlier. You said to me, whenever I'm rooting or voting for someone.
Yeah, whenever I root or vote for something, it loses. It loses. I just don't have it in me to vote for Donald Trump in the next election.
So I said to him, I'm like, well, maybe you should run with that and vote for the person you don't want to win. He's like, No, I just can't do it.
I voted for Bernie. He lost. I voted for Hillary. She lost. I voted for the person who, in a local election, he lost. I was rooting for Germany. They're out. Croatia, they're out. Everything I go for.
I had a friend of mine post on Facebook that he wanted to run. And that he would have the most progressive platform ever. And one of the things that he proposed was that he would ban the consumption of meat. And I'm like, no. I'd rather vote for Trump. Seriously.
Can we get that in writing?
Yeah. If someone bans meat, I'm voting for Trump.
You say that out loud?
I want
that's
my meat.
Like, I want
cutter Mike.
Listen,
cutter Mike. Cutter Mike. Cutter Mike.
She's fired. Unanimous.
Listen, when it comes to meat, you don't mess with me and my animals. I mean, not my dogs. I'm just talking about when
I mean,
it comes.
I try them.
When it comes to...
Wait, hold on. Time out. Tom, this is not a rational statement. You are saying that you would vote for Donald Trump, who is ruining our country and our foreign relations over a fucking piece of sausage.
Not only sausage, steak, chicken. This man literally wanted to say that he wants to make everyone force vegan on everyone. Like, you would all you would eat is twigs. I'm sorry. I can't eat twigs. I cannot. This whole body.
Well, that person's
this
clearly
massive,
not going to win.
This massive big thing here could not survive on just twigs. I need my meat. I'm sorry.
All right. I can't have this conversation anymore. That being said, Chris, weren't you about to bring us into the signature cocktail?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
All right. What are we drinking, baby?
Well, we're doing today's signature cocktail. Signature. Do you hear that?
What is it? What is it?
He
caught himself this time. He's so eager to make sure that we don't burn him that he's burning himself.
Literally, I open my mouth and he starts burning me, but
I was like salivating and I was like, oh, I had to swallow this.
This is amazing, by the way.
That's because your mouth was juicy.
Surely. Today's cocktail is our play on a Bobo Parisian with what we got is kind of what I'm going with. Because I did this in honor of France becoming the FIFA world champion. So I was like, let's go with a French cocktail. So like I said, it's the Bobo Parisian with our twist on it. So this consists of 2 ounces vodka, since we don't have gin, 1 ounce Saint Germain. Changed it up. We did 3/4 ounce of creme de vette, which is violet liqueur, a dash of grapefruit bitters. I believe the original cocktail calls for rhubarb bitters, but... ain't nobody got time for rhubarb. And then you top it off with club soda. There you go. That's your cocktail today. Vive la France.
And let me just say, it's not only amazing, but it's breathtaking, Chris. It's quite a good cocktail.
Why, thank you. It's not nutritious because there's no fruit in it, but...
But aren't bitters good for you?
It's got elderflower liquor in it.
It has herbs in it. It has violet in it. And yes, it has grapefruit bitter. So it is delicious. It is nutritious. It's breathtaking. It's awe-inspiring. It's amazing.
We love you again.
It will open your mind to a new world.
Indeed.
All right. Well, listen, let's jump into maybe one or 1.5 stories because we do have a guest, which I'm super excited to have. As I mentioned earlier in the broadcast that Adrian and Clay, which were the couple that, you know, set on this route to have this amazing landmark ruling from the EU court, is going to be joining us to talk about their experience and what they went through to be able to get to that point. And I'm super excited, and I want to get to them ASAP. So I'm going to open the board up for a story. Who wants to take it first?
Oh, you don't want to? I assumed you would want to talk first.
Well, I mean, I've been talking a lot, though.
I mean, like, I can go. It's super simple, super kind of cute.
Go for it.
So Harry Styles,
I love Harry.
I know, he's super cute.
Isn't he one of the, what was that band? He was part of a boy band.
He was, and it's escaping me because I did not care at the time.
They used to sing the story of my life. Da, da, da. Oh my God, I forgot who it was. Anyway, go.
So there was, so he was
that
performing.
Like One Direction?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. Chris, yes.
I am proud of you.
That's astonishing that you knew that. I'm going to keep throwing words out that are not amazing to you today.
Thank God.
Astonishing.
All I have to say is thank God that we're a talk show and not a radio show or a music show, because we would suck at it.
So Harry Styles today,
me.
In his tour this weekend in Los Angeles, he said to a fan, "We're all a little bit gay." And so after reading a sign from a fan that he was holding up in the audience, he said, "Can I read the sign?" It says, "I'm gay and I love you." And his response was, I love you as well. Thank you for coming. I mean, we're all a little bit gay."
That's awesome and
cute.
Isn't
that so cute? It's just like, he's not gay, but he's supporting his fans, mm-hmm. and he's supporting our community. Right. And let's be honest, we're all a little bit gay. Like, when have you not known a straight man to not check out another man and say, "I wish I had calves like that," or "I wish I had a body like that"? We're all a little bit gay. We all admire one another. Whether or not it's a sexual attraction, we're all a little bit gay. Do you know what I mean? So yeah, no, he said, "It's weird for me. Everyone should just be who they want to be. It's tough to justify someone having to answer to someone else about stuff like that." And asked if he has ever labeled his himself. And he said, "No, I've never felt a need to label myself." So Harry Styles has not labeled himself. He is who he is, but he's also super supportive and wants to be a part of the community, clearly, because he literally called out this fan of his that's just obviously clearly in love with him, but also validating who he is as a person. And that's beautiful. And that's what we need to see more of in the pop culture, in pop culture in general. Like, yes, you can be supportive, but like, preach it and say it on stage. Do it like Lady Gaga. Be you. Do you. Live your life.
It's amazing, though. It's amazing to see artists who come out of their comfort zone to acknowledge the fact that someone's, sexuality, someone's way of being, who they are, is validated. And that's an amazing validation, especially so publicly like that,
Mm-hmm. I know. And honestly, I also, it's like kind of like, well, you never felt the need to identify as anything. So Harry, what's going on?
Super busy.
No, that's what you would say to me.
You never know.
Men. Ooh, common denominator.
Speaking of coming out and or having visibility, so one of the few things that I was able to do this weekend, which I didn't talk about, was watch Love, Simon. And Trish, of course, has seen it, and she's been bugging me forever to see Love, Simon. And I'm like, fine, I'm going to see it. And I thought it was a very cute film, although it's a little too young-oriented for me. Like, it's based in high school, and I'm just, like, so over it. High school, right? Not one of my best times in my life. So it's like when I started watching the movie, I had to, like, really open up my mind and not think about the dialogue being so cheesy.
Well, what year did you graduate?
The dialogue wasn't cheesy.
It was cheesy, but the message was great.
The message was awe-inspiring.
I was ignoring you, Chris.
Not just amazing, awe-inspiring.
It was very...
Step aside, Taco Bell.
The message was fantastic. It was well written in the sense that, the point that they were trying to make, they made. No one should ever be outed. You should have that opportunity to do that yourself and come to terms with who you are at the right time, at the right place.
So we were watching this, and I've been wanting Tommy to watch this for a while. I love the movie. I have my issues with a couple things in the movie, which we don't necessarily need to talk about. But Tom did throw on Snapchat that I'm an ugly crier, and I was crying throughout the movie because it, my heart is like so easy. You just like pull at it and I start crying. But hold on, I'm not done. My question for Tom is, I want you to talk to me a little bit about what brought tears to your eyes in that movie.
But before I do that, I want to talk about what you should not do when you're around Trish.
Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, and Gina.
Thank you.
Answer the question.
Don't watch movies with rainbows coming out, gay, sad, sappy, something sad, because she ugly cries through the whole thing. And then she makes me cry because then I look over and she's got tears coming down. And she's like,
What's crazy to me is you thought that was ugly crying, because that was like very,
that was light. Silent.
That was light crying. That was like I was walking through the park and had like a tear fall down my cheek.
No, something was beautiful. That was silent, ugly crying, because you knew that if you interrupted my movie, I would cut you.
And it's like I said, Trish has like her own supply of ugly crying mascara. Like she applies that mascara solely for when she is preparing to ugly cry.
Overall, it was a great movie. But the moment in the movie that really like got a tear to come down one of my eyes, because you know. Mm-hmm,
there were two.
Just one.
I watched.
You watched this side of the eye, the side that you were able to see. But anyway, was when his father stopped him. He was coming in and his father stopped him and said, "Hey, listen, hey, bud, come here. We have to have a chat." And as you know, I don't have a relationship with my father. So whenever I see something of that nature, in where a father is coming to terms with their child's sexuality, it really gets to me, because that wasn't my experience. But it's very good to see the experience of someone else, even if it was fictitious, even if it was a movie. That whole exchange in itself is something that, you know, I think a lot of young gay men would like to have in their lives.
Because not only did the father validate his son, but then reiterated that he loved him. Mm-hmm. And then following that, asked him that, you know, the funny moment to like get out of the emotional moment was, "I've been thinking about it. We should probably sign up for Grindr together."
And he didn't even know what Grindr was.
And it's Simon, like, was just like, "Do you know what Grindr is?" He's like, "Yeah, it's like Facebook for gay people." You don't know what Grindr is. Okay.
But all right, so we need to probably move on. Let's take a quick break because we do have a guest coming on. And when we do, we're going to have an amazing conversation with two amazing men who are doing great things.
At some point, Mom, be careful, because I'm going to use the C word today.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
And also, just to reiterate, Grindr is not Facebook for gay people.
Valid. All right, here we go. Here's a quick break. We'll be back. My head gets caught in the moment, but my heart doesn't know it. Heart doesn't know it.
Do I fall in love?
right. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. From the break, that was Dance With Me by the incredible Davis Mallory, who has been on the show before. Love his music. He's coming out with some new stuff. I've been actually chatting with him. Hopefully, we'll get some of that new stuff on the show so that we can showcase it, as we do with most of the artists that usually come on the show. But anyway, joining us now are Adrian and Clay. They are the couple that spearheaded the fight all the way to the Court of Justice of the European Union in an effort to have their partnership and the residency of spouses all over the European Union recognized. Their fight ended with a landmark ruling that ultimately allowed same-sex couples the right to move to and from other EU states.
You'll get there.
Which was completely amazing. Cocktails are great, so there's going to be a lot of cursive on the show, but I'd like to welcome both of these great, amazing gentlemen to the show.
Hi, guys. Thank you.
Hello.
It's amazing to have you both.
Thanks for having us. It's amazing to be with you.
So we've been following your case quite a bit on the show. We've been talking about it for weeks since it was first announced. We've been talking about it and really excited at the opportunity to be able to sit down with you and get a little bit of perspective on looking at it from your point of view, right? Because you guys really went through all of this and you started this whole process, and now you're changing the lives of many people all across the European Union. So I guess I will start with...
really quick, before you start asking questions, I just want to thank you guys, because what you guys are doing and what you guys are standing up for is amazing for the entire European Union. It's amazing. It's like we... It's happening. It's fine. It's just... It's like watching this whole thing unveil has been such a beautiful process and such a powerful and emotional process for us, and I'm sure the entire community, and we can't thank you enough for standing up and doing what's right.
I will say,
thank you so much, guys.
Oh, you're welcome. I will say, I have two friends of mine that are currently in Europe. You know, one of them from there, the other is an American that lived and worked with me here, and she moved there with her partner. And the decision that you guys fought for is seriously helping them out in such a way that's just incredible to see.
Well, that in itself for both of us is the most impactful thing. This win-win situation I personally didn't anticipate happening at the very beginning of it all. So the fact that you put it so clearly and so justly that this has implications for so many people is quite amazing, and it still blows my mind.
Yeah. I would say that we are aware that a lesbian couple was actually granted. It's a French with an Australian woman who moved from Romania to Bulgaria. And the government denied the Australian a residence in Bulgaria. And they went to court, and they had a court hearing and decision 2 weeks ago. And that was right after the decision our case came out, and the Bulgarian judge actually based their decision on the EU court decision in our case. So it's very rewarding to see so soon, you know, that it has an impact in other people's lives.
It set a precedent.
Yeah, for sure.
Precedence.
You got it. Before we like get into the actual case, I want to hear a little bit more about you two and your story, how you met and where, like how you got to this point and what made this case happen. Like you guys met and then, you know, just tell me your story. I would love to hear a little bit about it.
Well, we're happy to tell it. And thank you for showing so much interest in us and in our stories and our story. Well, we actually met on a little thing called gay.com back in 2002. I had only lived in New York for like, you know, for a few months, and I sought out gay.com as a place to create, to find community, to meet up with people. And I, you know, was open-minded, anticipated anything could happen. I could meet anyone. And then one lovely summer day in June, I found myself in a chat with a newly arrived Romanian named Adrian, and we hit it off, and we decided to actually meet face to face. What was it, the next day or so? And we met at Central Park face to face after work, and he was the cutest blonde. I walking across the street, I noticed him immediately, and when we met, it was definitely it was adoration at first sight, and we stayed in the park for like I don't know like so many hours, like from evening to well, not quite to dawn, but it was for so
the park closes at so 1 a.m.
So we got to know each other. We met in the park. We instantly just gravitated to each other. It was super romantic. He was such a lovely guy. He was so sweet.
It's all in the past tense, as you see.
I caught on to that.
You know, and we, yeah, and you know, and it's been, it's been 16 years to think about that. So it's been 16 years since that day. So so last month we celebrated our 16-year anniversary.
Wow, that's amazing.
And it was actually just a couple of days before the ruling, which was so significant and really put things in perspective, and made me really, you know, obviously appreciate what we have, the struggles we've been through together, this long journey we've been through together. If anything, it's brought us much closer.
So your story is obviously beautiful, and you guys are gorgeous and cute, and I love it. And I don't want to cry, so I'm not going to.
Please don't.
But let me get your mascara,
my waterproof mascara. So we have the story, we have the love. You guys met, you fell in love. It's been 16 years now. What sparked the case?
We lived in New York, where we still live right now. We have a small, nice apartment in Harlem. And in 2009, after 7 years here, I actually went to Brussels because I got a job in the European Parliament. And I was there for the job for 2.5 years, after which I became unemployed, and I had to stay there in order to earn the EU unemployment. Mm-hmm. And during those almost 1 year, I started to look for a job, and we were trying to figure out a way to get back together, because at that point we had been apart for about 3 years. And we had three options. One was the U.S., another one was Belgium, and the third one was Romania, each one with their advantages and disadvantages. And we got married in 2010. New York adopted the same-sex marriage law in 2011, so we knew what our legal status would be here. Belgium was all easy, because that's where we got married in the first place, and Romania was unclear. So we started a process to look at how we could move to Romania, for which he, Clay, would need a residence and a work permit. And I went to, you know, I looked online and I found what the procedure was. And I went to the Romanian consulate to ask for a transcription of the Belgian marriage certificate in the Romanian records, which was one of the requirements to apply for residence. And they denied it, saying that the Romanian law, the civil code, basically prohibits both same-sex marriages to take place in Romania and the recognition of same-sex marriages that took place abroad, Belgium in our case. That was a very, very disappointing thing for me to hear. Like, once I need my country for something, and the answer is no. I remember I even got a fine in the tram after I left the consulate because I forgot to validate the ticket. And then we talked to lawyers to figure out what the situation was. And I wrote a letter to the Romanian government asking how Clay can get a residence based on an EU law that basically says that I, as an EU citizen, should be able to move around the 28 countries of the EU with certain rights. And one of them is residence for my spouse. And the government answered that that is not possible because same-sex marriages are not recognized in Romania, and therefore he would not get that right, you know, despite the EU law. So, you know, after talking to lawyers, and we are lucky, I have to emphasize that because, you know, I worked in this field for many years, so I already knew where to seek legal help, and I could understand the situation. I have a master's degree in human rights, and I worked in the European Parliament, so I was aware of the EU law. So we started a litigation in Romania claiming discrimination based on both the EU law and the Romanian constitution. So that was in 2013, and there were various, we spent some years in procedural things. Basically, the courts went around about which was competent to hear our case in Romania. And then the first instance court sent our case to the Constitutional Court of Romania, which is a kind of Supreme Court, but in Europe, you know, there are various courts for various purposes. And we had two hearings in 2016 in the Romanian Constitutional Court. That's also when the public and the media learned about our case. We had a press conference in Romania together with the Romanian Association Accept, which is an official party of this case. So it's Coleman, me, Hamilton, Clay, and Accept.
That's how we got connected, through Accept.
In this litigation. And Accept has provided, you know, free legal assistance to us, and also Theo, who's an amazing person there that I know you talked to, is the one who arranged, you know, and planned the media approaches. My parents were with us in that press conference, which was a big deal because you don't get often parents in Romania to talk to the media about their gay son. And in the second hearing in the Constitutional Court, we asked the court to ask the EU court what the term spouse means in the EU law, whether it covers same-sex spouses or not, because that was the argument that the Romanian government invoked to deny the residence. So that happened, and we got to the EU court. We went to a hearing together with my parents and our lawyers and many other people. We are very fortunate to have benefited from a lot of support from a lot of people and institutions and lawyers and our jobs. And I emphasize that we are in a very privileged situation because, you know, we live in New York. We have an income in this country. We were able to pay for tickets, you know, to go to Luxembourg and Romania. And had we been unemployed, you know, as I was in Belgium and Clay was afterwards in New York, this case would not have got to this point. So we recognize that we have a privileged situation, and we're happy to use it, and we are committed to taking this to an end, no matter how long it takes.
But it almost sounds like you were destined. You were the couple that were destined to do this, because for you, like you said, there was a privilege that came with who you were. You worked at the right place. You had the right connections. You were familiar with laws regarding human rights, and you, to me, you seem like a person that you were willing to take on this fight because you knew that you had the right people behind you. It's almost like it perfectly lined up for you. Like, literally, it just fell on your lap because it was meant to be.
All we have to do was get married in Brussels.
So I will ask a question. So once you guys got the denial, What was that conversation like? That first conversation where you looked at Clay and said, should we do this? Are we going to do this? And can we follow through with this? What was that conversation like?
He was on Skype. Exactly. As I was living in Belgium and he was in the US, actually, some of our relationship was on Skype at the time, including I proposed to him on Skype.
Aww. Oh, stop it! I can't!
So we talked about it. We didn't realize it would take so long. If someone told me it would take 6 years, I would probably still have said yes, but I didn't think it would be that long at the time. And it was, on one hand, it was a practical matter because, again, I was unemployed. He was here, so we had to figure out what we would do. And on the other hand, I think it's also an issue of principle. You know, because there should not be discrimination, particularly when there is a law that says that.
Of course, of course.
Preach.
That was the point. I don't think we hesitated. You know.
Yeah, and I second that motion. You know, when Adrian and I spoke about it, when he explained to me what he told you, what had happened when he went to register our marriage and then finding out the result, it was definitely, as he expressed, disconcerting. So, you know, I was all for it. I don't think I hesitated at all. I didn't have to think about it because it was correct. You were correct in saying that it was based on principle. And once more, just to reiterate, I never would have imagined that it would have not only taken so long, but that it would have gone so far,
right.
That it would have, you know, of course, impacted so many lives, but that we would actually be called to hear for our case to be heard by the Romanian court initially. And I think that's when it's, that for me, I think is when it really became really obvious that this is happening. You know, when we traveled to Bucharest and we were in front of the Romanian court and tons of media, local media there, documenting our case, interviewing us on the spot right outside the courtroom. It was all a bit, you know, it should have been a bit overwhelming, and at least in reflection. But when it actually happened, you know, I think we actually held ourselves pretty well.
I think you have to ask other people about that.
So if you guys do decide to move to Romania, and what is the actual climate for the LGBT community in Romania? So you are acknowledged there as a couple. You can live there and have your life. Is it a comfortable place? Do you feel safe? Is it good for the community? Can you talk a little bit about that?
You know, it's interesting that you actually mentioned that, particularly that last point, feeling comfortable. I would say by far, definitely yes. There is a great comfort level, particularly for me. You know, going to Romania for Adrian is going home, and for me, I've only been there 3 times now, and the most recent time, which was just last month when we were there, we not only celebrated Gay Pride in the streets with the entire LGBT community, but also we spend time with his family, with our family, and it was joyous. It was by far a great comfort level for me to have been there, because over the years we've all bonded really well. So it was wonderful. However, there were times that we were in, particularly in Bucharest during the Gay Pride festivities, where I felt a little concerned. And
concerned with what?
Concerned with with our presence in the street, when we actually were walking towards the meetup, the initial meetup or starting place at the Gay Pride Parade in Bucharest, we walked literally right into this huge contingency of pro-family.
It was a demonstration of the ruling party about many things, but yeah.
And they were bussed in by politicians who don't support same-sex marriage or the LGBT community, and they were lined up in the street. And in order for us to get to where we were going to the start of our gay of the Gay Pride Parade that we participated in, we had to basically walk through this crowd of people who were literally like holding, they might as well have been holding pitchforks, and maybe that's all in my mind, but they were all bussed in, and they had their own anti-LGBT or anti-gay demonstration. And they, I don't know, I felt really concerned. I felt like we were being watched. And by the time we got through that crowd and we were able to join our brothers and sisters for the start of the Gay Pride Parade, it could not have been the complete opposite in terms of atmosphere. When we arrived at the start of the parade, we were fully embraced by friends, by people I didn't know, cheering for us. You know, it was so joyous and so overwhelming that I forgot all about about having walked there and having been.
Now, can I ask?
I just want to add to that. It's so important, that visibility, because even if you look back to early July, Pride in Istanbul, which was banned and people were met with tear gas and rubber bullets, but they still prevailed to be out there to show their presence. So it's so important that you pushed through that opposition and, you know, stood with your brothers and sisters to show that we are prideful for who we are and we can love who we love, because love is love is love. And that's
true.
Aw, Chris.
I love just hearing that. I loved hearing that story.
So I will ask you. So was your fear as you're walking through that crowd as a result of the fact that your case had already been ruled on, right? We already know that the recognition of a same-sex couple's partner to live within the residency of their partner of their country of birth. Was your fear as a result of the ruling? Were you afraid that someone in this, you know, opposition rally would recognize who you were? Because I mean, when you really look at it, you guys right now are in the middle of one of the biggest fights in Europe right now, right? In the European Union regarding marriage rights, equality rights. It all encompasses with each other because you're setting a precedent not only in Romania, but in all of the European Union, right? Because that ruling affected all these other states. Do you think that your fear had to do with being recognized as a result of that?
You know, partly so.
Some people did recognize, actually. It's not all imaginary.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, and I think that there's, you know, I think for me, traveling to Romania, you know, and not being a resident there as of yet, you know, I definitely felt, walking through that crowd, I felt like an outsider. But again, to repeat, walking into the fold and being embraced by our community right after that, you know, I definitely know that there is that there's hope that other LGBT persons in the community in Romania can see better days because of these efforts and for just pushing through it. You know, with that said, I definitely, you know, Romania is actually on the map, and Romania is coming up, particularly Bucharest, the capital. Uh-huh. Just today, I actually saw an amazing travel write-up focused directly on Bucharest, And it's an old world city with great charm and amazing food. And people are definitely friendly, and they're cordial, and they're loving. And I experience that every time that I go there. Matter of fact, when we were there, one of the last times we were there, the owner of a restaurant that we actually dined at recognized us and gave us such an outpouring of hospitality and brought us a bottle of champagne because he saw us on television, and he told us directly that he supported us.
That's awesome.
So, you know, so yes, it was. So Romania actually, you know, Romania does have the capacity of actually coming out of this fog of propaganda, you know, against our community.
It's so important to showcase the support, because it's so easy to show the opposition, but you need to spotlight those who stand out and say, you know, I support you guys. And that's an excellent story right there too.
So were the marchers in the parade aware that you guys would be attending the parade?
Yes. The parade actually of the ruling party, the main purpose was to show popular support for the ruling party, because there's a lot of political complications right now. But what happened is that the parade was the same day and at about the same time as the gay pride march, you know, that they both started from the same central square in Bucharest. But there were no incidents, actually. You know, the police, I think, did their job well, and the itineraries were different of the gay march with the ruling party's demonstration, so it was fine. And I don't want you to understand from Clay's comment on fear that was the defining line. It was actually the opposite. You know, our experience has been very positive, from that restaurant owner to other waiters to, I remember a woman who was selling, you know, vegetables in front of her house on a road in Romania. And we stopped to buy something, and she recognized us from the TV, you know, and was very supportive. So our experience actually has been very positive and very rewarding. But your initial question was not about the two of us, was about how the situation is in Romania. And I think, you know, first of all, I try not to have many opinions since I don't live there and I experience Romania in a different way. I think like here, it depends on many things. It depends on class, you know, on race, on gender, on whether you are in a big city like Bucharest or at the countryside, you know, how financially dependent you are on your parents in order to come out or not. So I think it's very complicated.
Yeah, that sounds about right. It's like just the same here. No matter where you are, there's always elements that you have to take into account before you decide to come out or not. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So we've talked a lot about everything, but what are the next steps, right? So I know earlier when we were doing our sound check, you were telling me that the fight's not over.
It's not.
So this is an amazing, impactful ruling, but what does that actually mean for you? And now what are the next steps?
Well, after the EU court decision on June 5th, there was another hearing week in the Romanian Constitutional Court. And basically our perspective, we all know that the EU court decision is mandatory, so that will have to be respected, fortunately. But our main lawyer in court argued that we need more than the immigration rights. I think she said it in a very nice way. Justina Ionescu is her name. Justina said, Clay will be my husband for immigration purposes in Romania, but I will not be his husband for any purpose in Romania. Therefore, the request to the Constitutional Court is to repeal the provisions in the Civil Code that prohibit the recognition of our marriage, of marriages performed abroad. That decision will be on Wednesday, on July 18th. So we'll see what the decision is. But regardless, we will next go back to the first instant court, because so far with the Constitutional Court and the EU Court, we will have clarified the legislation. but it has not been applied to the two of us. So that's something that the first instance court will do. And then there can be appeals by either side. So it is a long process. So we are not all packed, you know, we'll patiently wait. This can take a year or more, you know, and then we'll just figure out what the situation is based on what the decisions are.
Well, so I heard you talk about this earlier when I was making cocktails when you guys are doing the test Skype. Is the EU court the equivalent of our Supreme Court, or can the Romanian Constitutional Court override a ruling?
No. The EU law is mandatory. You know, the constitutions were modified in the EU member states in order to recognize the authority of the EU law. And I think we should also keep in mind that there is no decision yet in the first instance court. So the EU decision was not an appeal. The EU court was asked, what do you mean by spouse? And therefore, that becomes applicable.
So basically, they were asked for a definition, they gave it, and what they gave ended up benefiting you both, not only you both, but countless individuals and partnerships all over Europe. Mm-hmm. But I guess my question is, so if I'm hearing this correctly, not only are you fighting for the right to have Clay have a permanent residency to be able to work and be recognized as your partner in Romania, but if I'm not hearing wrong, you are now also pushing to have same-sex marriage legalized.
Well, no. The law, there's a particular provision that says same-sex couples cannot marry in Romania.
Okay.
We cannot challenge that provision because we married abroad. And there's a different provision about not recognizing marriages performed abroad. So that's the provision that we are challenging. And indeed, it is a broader equality case, because what we told the Constitutional Court is that we, or I, as an EU, as a Romanian citizen, should have the protection of the Romanian Constitution when it comes to private life and equality. So we expect a broader decision from the Romanian Constitutional Court than it could be from the EU court, which was only about the EU law and only about immigration rights.
Do you think that these efforts will help some point the fight for marriage equality within the European Union and also within Romania?
Yes, but we have to see what the decision is.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. So, right, exactly.
You know,
I think yes, because the public debate that surrounded our case for 2 years now. And something else to mention is that in parallel and unrelated to our case, the conservative movement in Romania also mobilized and collected 2.7 million signatures to amend the Romanian constitution to say that marriage is between a man and a woman, because right now it says the marriage is between spouses.
Right.
So although the civil law already prohibits same-sex marriages, the conservative movement found a goal in their life to go one step further and make sure that not even 10 years from now, that's right. going to be possible.
So basically, they want it spelt out.
And we had talked about that with Tiberiu.
So if I'm understanding this correctly, right now, legally, they don't have the grounds to reject a same-sex marriage couple based on their own wording and their own constitution.
They do, because the civil code regulates it explicitly. So a same-sex couple cannot go to the city hall to ask for a marriage certificate because the civil law says they cannot. In our case, it's particular because we got married in Belgium. Okay. So, you know, as I tell the media, I cannot not be married. I mean, I am married. No,
right.
Like, you know, so another argument that our lawyer brought in the Constitutional Court is that theoretically, I can go to Romania and marry a woman because for the Romanian government, I am single.
Right.
Mm. Oh, this has become polyamorous now.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it sounds like you guys still have a big fight ahead of you, and you guys are doing amazing work. You guys are amazingly cute, and I love you both because you're just so great. And I think, again, your love and your commitment to stay together, whether you were on two sides of the globe, is what really made this fight and this decision so impactful, mm-hmm. right? Because other people would have caved under the pressure. It's not an easy thing to do to take on the legality of being a couple in places in where, you know, you're not even seen as, for the most part, as human.
You're the couple that's becoming the face for EU residency in places where marriage equality is not allowed. And that is something to bask in, almost. It's something that you should be so proud of, and the entire community can only stand with you because it's something that we've all needed and respect and want and love you for doing what you're doing.
And you can't spell Romania without most of romantic. Like, like most of it.
And man!
Oh, leave it to Chris to pull it all together. All right, well, listen, it has been an amazing experience to chat with you and to learn more about you and your fight, which you've got so much more to do. But from us here on Gay Talk, and for many thousands of LGBTQ brothers and sisters in the EU, we thank you for your efforts and for your fight and for sticking through it and making this happen, because it is truly a landmark ruling.
And we're going to continue to follow the story, and we'll have you guys back on as things unfold.
So you're saying in 2 days, you're going to find out a decision as to whether or not.
So in 2 days, I'm either going to be on a plane protesting or congratulating you via email with gifts and stuff.
Well, there's always a chance that the court would postpone their decision.
Right, mm-hmm. That's true.
Issues are not very clear, but yes, we're waiting and we're very happy. And we also thank the many people and institutions that believed in us and in this cause and supported us. And we thank you, because all media has a big role to play. And we were actually very fortunate to have very positive coverage, including on conservative media in Romania. So that was a great, great deal.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Because that's not something that happens here at all.
Right. Well, and we're so happy that you joined us here on Fake News. And, you know, it's just,
shut the hell up.
Well, listen, on that note, I know it's you guys are in New York City.
Let's do dinner sometimes. We're neighbors.
I know, literally.
We should. It's 7:48 p.m. You probably haven't even had dinner yet.
Yeah. So, I'm packing. I'll go to Amsterdam tomorrow for work purposes. So I'll be in Amsterdam when the decision is pronounced. Yeah.
Well, we're rooting for you. We're hoping that everything comes out in your favor and in the favor of thousands of LGBTQ members all over the EU. And again, thank you for taking time out of your day to speak with us.
Yes.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Tom. Thank you, Nick. Thank you, Chris, for all of your support and for your hospitality.
You guys are amazing.
You're always welcome in Tom's basement.
She is snarky today.
What are those cocktails?
Oh, there's always cocktails.
Plenty of cocktails.
Always cocktails. Always cocktails.
On that note, guys, thank you so much. Enjoy dinner. Have a great time. And good luck on Wednesday.
Thank you so much, guys.
Thank you.
Bye.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that was Adrian and Clay again. These two incredible men have done such great work that really advanced the community in the European Union to a point where it is, you know, yeah, it's not marriage equality, but think about it. You know, if you are married elsewhere, you can bring your partner with you to live permanently as a resident in your country of choice within the European Union to be able to be together and not, you know, be separated, because what a lot of people don't realize is that if you're not a permanent resident of any of these countries that are part of the European Union, you can only stay there for so long.
Right. Depending on where you come from, how long the visas last.
And then once your visa's done, you got to leave.
It's 3 months, I believe, with a U.S. passport.
Yeah. And being with someone that you love, that you ultimately want to be and spend the rest of your life with for just 3 months, and then have to fly back and wait 6 months or nine months.
The whole process again.
To start that, it's just incredibly frustrating. And I think that the work that they're doing is going to really change a lot of lives.
And it's touching on so much. It's not only asking for the, or saying that the European Union must recognize marriage, it's touching on immigration reform. Mm-hmm. And then, yes, in the long run, this may lead to a fight for Romania to legalize same-sex marriage.
I think it has to, honestly, because how...
And eventually, I think we'll get to that road, should these things be passed.
How can they acknowledge, a gay marriage...
They'll recognize it.
Recognize a gay marriage from another country, but not recognize their own citizens. I feel like it's a spark that will start something that's going to be beautiful.
And that's why this ruling, and especially the one coming Wednesday, is a telltale sign of where things will go.
But you know what snowball effect.
But you know what struck me the most about the couple is how humble they were.
They were very much.
They're amazing.
They are doing something that, like I said, they are the face of a movement, and the way that they address it and they talk about it, it's like they're doing this from a place of love and a place of community and a place of changing the face of where we live and where they live and where they want to be and create a community and a family where. Some people aren't like that. They are so humble. This isn't about necessarily just them. This is about something that needs to happen. It's about human rights. It's about civil rights. And that's what I'm just like, this couple is like so strong and so beautiful.
And they acknowledged their privilege, which I think is, like you said, very humble and very important. But it didn't put them down by, it's okay that you're privileged. You acknowledge that you have a privilege, but it's okay to work with that. Like, use what you have
for the good of others.
Absolutely.
Seriously,
right.
I think this fight fell on Adrian's lap.
Clay fell on his lap too.
Well, Central Park. They met on Central Park.
Yes. And I want to take it a little further. Like, not only, I don't think it fell on their lap, I think it kind of pushed them. It was like fell behind them and did a kick. Like, this is go for it. Like, pushed them forward.
He really had all the credentials.
Absolutely.
Lined up.
Absolutely. And that one final push is leading to what it's leading to.
You know, and one thing that we didn't mention, and it's really not important, but they're also a biracial couple. Which is something that could add even more layers of difficulty in the fight.
Acceptance.
Yeah. I mean, it's just overall, it was an amazing experience to see them work through that and be successful up to this point. And I hope and wish that they are successful and go all the way through.
And they were adorable.
You see how he put his hand over his shoulder? Yeah, it was so cute. I was like, aww. I hope they make love tonight. They should. They should. I mean, I'm sure they will.
Because Adrian is going away to Amsterdam for a bit. So
he is.
Like, facts.
Yeah. All right. So we have several stories that we still would like to cover. I skipped my story at the beginning of the show because I wanted to make sure that we gave them prime time to make sure that we get their story. If we all go to our favorite website, which is, ladies and gentlemen,
unicornbooty.com.
This one really is from them. It's written by Matt Keeley. This was a story that was reported on July 10th. But it caught my eye because this is very important. As we know, we've got medication like Truvada out there and a lot of like cocktails that are really helping people who live with HIV and those that don't either prevent them from getting it or be able to manage their situation in such a positive way. So they reported that a new HIV vaccine has just entered human trials. The vaccine has been shown to prevent transmission of the virus in 2/3 of monkeys in lab trials. And will now be tested on 2,600 women in Southern Africa. Though the HIV vaccine has been successful in monkeys, however, they do know that may not be the case as it carries over into human trials. The trial, which has been called Imbokoto, after the Isi Zulu word for rock is starting soon. Though we likely won't know the results until 2021 or 2022, while things look good for the Mbokodo trial, promising HIV vaccine trials have ended up failing at the human stage before.
These are hard words, I'll give you that.
Yeah, they are. I mean, indigenous words can be hard for anyone. Even our own indigenous tribal names can be difficult. Mm-hmm. So bear with me. But, you know, this is great news because it just shows that, you know, we're still working continuously and hard to make sure that we get to the point where we can eradicate this disease that has just, this virus that has just decimated loved communities, whether you're part of the LGBT community or not. It's just devastated lives of millions of people, millions. And you know, and the millions of people that we've lost to this disease.
Yeah. I mean, like, I can't speak to it the way historically our community can, because I have, you know, I've lost somebody to AIDS, but it was one person. And not that that's not significant, but what our community went through and what the African countries are still going through with not having the right medical needs that they have and what they're dealing with. I mean, people over there are born with AIDS, and mm-hmm. there are women that are young and they get raped and they get AIDS and or HIV, and like it's just an epidemic. And like then you have the whole red movement that's helping with that, but this shot or this vaccine can be a huge face of change.
Of course. I mean, they noted in the article that in the 40 years of the HIV epidemic, the drug in the upcoming Mbokodo trials is only the fifth HIV vaccine to go to human trials. In theory, if the vaccine works, people could go and get a shot for HIV the same way they do for many other diseases like mumps, rubella, or even polio. Currently, pre-exposure prophylaxis, better known as PrEP, is the best resource for preventing HIV. PrEP has also shown to be at least 98% effective in stopping HIV. And for those who are HIV positive, medication is available to lower the viral load to undetectable levels. And of course, undetectable equals untransmittable. And that's important because, you know, a lot of people don't understand that, and even our own CDC has recognized that in the past year.
So you know what, I was this weekend, I was having a conversation with a group of people about STDs and HIV, and one person I was speaking to was like, it just freaked them out so much. It's like if they came out and said, "Hey, I have this," they'd be like, "No, that's it, towel in, done." And the more and more we've been on the show, the more and more we've had the chance to learn about STIs and HIV, mm-hmm. and my mindset has grown. Yes, there are scary elements to it, but as a community that support one another, it's like, how do we have that conversation with somebody without just saying, okay, I'm throwing the towel in because this is too scary? Because there are so many ways to protect yourself now. Do you know what I mean? That it's just like, it blows my mind. I'm like, just to hear somebody say like, no, I don't think I could even.
But even if you were to find out that you were HIV positive, think about all the amazing people that sat with us here, right on this desk with us. Kyle, for example, who we had Kyle on the show last week. Kyle has been living with HIV after he found out at a very young age that he had it, and he did something amazing with his life. He completely transformed who he was, what he was all about, and what he was going to do with his life. And now he goes all over. He worked with AIDS Project New Haven. He's going abroad now to help individuals or youngsters with HIV on a mission. It's amazing that, you know, it literally gave him a complete new focus in life of what it was that his work and his meaning was going to be. It's just amazing to see. So it's not the end of the road. No.
And if you love somebody and you're in a relationship with somebody and they have HIV, or if you meet somebody and you have an instant connection with them or whatnot, and they come out and tell you they have HIV or any other STD, that doesn't mean the relationship should end. That doesn't mean the conversation should end. That means you have to have a conversation and be safe and take care of one another. Because if you honestly want to be with somebody, just because they have an STI or HIV does not mean you can't.
Right. And that's a huge challenge right now, with it, even with, specifically within the LGBT community.
Because we saw so many deaths.
We did, but that, I don't think, I just think that the fact that someone could say to you, hey, I'm HIV positive, and boom, you just completely lost interest and just walk away and just shut it down. The level of rejection within HIV positive individuals in the LGBT community is alarming, which could lead to depression. It could lead to a lot of other things. We need to understand that this is not an end all.
No,
and for someone to be in a relationship with.
And we need to embrace the advances in science.
We absolutely do. And also our brothers and sisters in the community, because in the end, they're human. Just like you could get a cold, they happen to have HIV. It's no different than getting something else that, you know, you would stick with your partner through and help through and go to the doctor with. And, you know, it's just, it's a process, and it needs to, you know, the shaming behind being positive needs to stop. But anyway, back to the story. I think that it's very promising news, and I hope that we get positive results. Pun intended.
Not bad.
Positive results, pun intended, for
positive results for a negative outcome.
For a negative outcome from something so great, you know. And I we have to applaud these scientists, even though Trump says that, you know, they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing and that it's all fake. They're really taking the opportunity to change history once again.
Heard.
Preach. Yes. So that being said, we maybe have room for one more story, maybe four or maybe two. Who would like to go?
I think Chris should talk about what he has, because I think it's a horrible story, but also an empowering one.
The attacked one?
Yeah. Yes. The attacked one. Yes, that's the one I'm talking
about. The one I'm going to say the C word. For
mom, cover your ears.
Cover your ears. That's right. Yeah, no, I thought this was an interesting story. It was a young man out of Scotland had an empowering response to a vicious homophobic attack. According to Barhead News, 21-year-old Blair Wilson was walking home in Neilston, which is a small village in Scotland, when he heard a man from across the street scream and call him a faggot. Blair bravely confronted the man over the slur and was promptly physically attacked. Afterwards, immediately following the attack, he decided that I'm not going to sit back. I'm not going to be afraid. I need to call this person out. He took a selfie covered in blood and posted that on Facebook. And I'm going to go ahead and read his words that he put with his blood covered face post. To the wee cunt that called me a faggot across the main street, then tried to attack me when I called him hen. We all knew who you are, and you will get what's coming to you. Wilson went on to say, trusted to be someone insecure with his own sexuality, trying to take it out on someone secure in himself. Wish you well. And he shared that on Facebook.
Well, first of all, I need to note something. So you were warning us that you were going to say the word cunt, but it's not you saying that technically. The story had it in the writing.
Right. Well, I'm reading it.
Okay.
So I was reading it. I was just saying, mother, cover your ears. Hide your children, hide your wives. I'm going to say the C word. I'm going to say the C word right now. And he went on to say, I knew as soon as it happened that I could either keep quiet and feel embarrassed about it, or I could shame him over Facebook. As soon as I posted it, even though my nose was still bleeding, I didn't care. I did use some choice words in the post, but the message I wanted to get across is you need to stick up for yourselves. Maybe don't go get yourself hurt, but show them you have friends and you are loved.
And that is important.
Absolutely. And I think he was very brave for doing that.
The most amazing thing about this young gentleman that posted this, yes, he did use some choice words, but at the end, he literally says, wish you well. Mm-hmm. And then there's a kissy face emoji.
Mm-hmm.
And that, to me, is like, you may have put me through this, but you're going through something way deeper.
Absolutely.
And he has the strength within himself after what he went through to say, wish you well.
He's being the bigger man. When they go low, we go high.
Hello?
Well, unless you're telling me you're talking about Trump. But no, but one thing he noted too, you know, he said that since posting, he has received an outpouring of love from friends and family and complete strangers. It's amazing. I've heard so many people, I haven't even spoken to in ages, and people who I don't even know telling me that I'm an inspiration and stuff. And it made me feel so good about myself. And that's what it's all about. It's being able to empower yourself to make the change that you want to see in the world.
Absolutely.
Yeah, Blair Wilson is an inspiration.
And he gets claps.
He does get claps.
And
because, you know, if I got beaten, I'd be like, I ain't putting this mug on fucking Instagram, Facebook, nothing. I can't.
She'd probably make it up.
She would.
She'd whip out that Bondo kit. No, but, you know, and two other individuals, of course, who we just spoke with in great detail, Adrian and Clay, also, I think, get claps. Because it's... Overall,
you gotta get like a soundbite for that because the three of us just don't do it justice.
No, we don't.
Well,
we do the dish justice, but that's about it.
Right.
Well, we've been working at it for over 2 years. It's. I would hope so.
Facts.
So anyway, what else do we have? Because we do have to close.
All right. You want to close out, or you want to do one more quick thing?
Do one more quick thing because
I know
you want
to. I think it's really important that we talk about this. So this past week, the Republican Party ruled. Hold on. They. Proposed a bill that would amend the House Appropriations Committee approved a bill that would potentially amend the ability for LGBTQ people to adopt from religious adoption agencies that receive government funding. Okay, so this basically says, and it also, which is smart of the Republican Party, includes the ability for these religious adoption agencies to not allow people that have been divorced as well. So they're not just saying the LGBTQ people, but we all know it's actually the attack on the LGBTQ people. And they're amending it and putting things in there so that it has more potential to pass when it moves on. But so this was just...
They're pulling a Donald.
Yeah, so this was just the Appropriations Committee. This has
travel
to go...
Travel ban one, travel ban two, travel ban three, mm-hmm. Go.
So this has to go through a lot. This has to go through a lot more. But what's amazing is that a federal court just ruled that adoption agencies cannot discriminate against gay couples. So there was an... So a court based out of Philadelphia, there was an agency and they literally ruled that the CSS, which is the Catholic Social Services, cannot discriminate.
Difficult words. Difficulties.
They cannot discriminate against the LGBTQ individuals because they have already enacted. Hold on, let me find it. I'm getting ahead of myself. The city's Fair Practices Ordinance, which means they have to, which requires businesses to offer its services equally to all people, regardless of sexual orientation or gender identity. So that doesn't necessarily mean the rest of the nation, but in this small area, there's already been a court that ruled against something that could potentially go into effect. So yes, we had some shitty news last week, but we already have some positive news this week. So I think we have to take it with a grain of salt and hope for the best, even though we have potential new Supreme Court nominees.
Yeah, it's going to be, we'll see when it gets to, which I'm sure it will get to the highest court, mm-hmm. Something like this.
We shall see.
Mm-hmm. And I just I feel like this administration keeps bringing religion back into everything. And I'm like, guys, that's not your job. That's not your role. Leave it to the Pope. Okay. Because you need to worry about the people in the government.
They're not Catholic. They don't follow the Pope.
Who's that?
The religious, all these high-end religious politicians, they're not the Catholics.
I literally just said some Catholic of them social be. Services.
No, wasn't it Christian?
Catholic.
Are you sure?
Oh,
it
God,
was Catholic. Yes. But yes, but that's one of the main reasons why we don't have
Catholicism is a branch of Christianity.
Right, but that's one of the main reasons why we don't have Catholic presidents, because they're worried that it'll be the Pope who's running the United States of America.
Well, we've had Catholic presidents before.
John F. Kennedy.
John F. Kennedy was Catholic.
I think that's the only Catholic president we've ever had, solely because of that reason. They always win the evangelical vote, but we never have Catholic presidents because they don't want the Pope to be running the United States of America.
Hmm. Whatever. Anyway,
facts.
God.
Facts.
So, we do have to wrap up the show. So, yeah, I'm going to give this girl.
You did it again.
Her book. Here you go.
She's walking like she's got a duty.
So, I'm going to flip it over to Chris because we're going to reverse things around. We're not going to do the gay talk term first. We're going to do On This Day in Gay History.
I got this.
You got this?
Yeah, I'm ready to go.
Oh, she's ready to go. All right.
So, this week's gay talk term is brought to you, of course, by
UnicornBooty.com.
And it is Have a Cup of Tea. Have a cup of tea to use a public toilet for having sex. Synonym, have a tea engagement. This week's Gay Talk term, brought to you, of course, by unicornbooty.com, is have a cup of tea.
Interesting.
Today.
And that ties together because the cocktail, the Bobo Parisian, is actually supposed to be served in a tea glass. A tea glass, not
this
a tea
is
bottle.
Where
like a
see,
tea
I got
glass.
It. I got it.
Absolutely. No one referenced that I had an arachnid issue to take care of during that interview. I saw you two, and I was watching your eyeballs follow it.
Well, I was fine, but he was freaking
Trish
out.
Is not okay.
Okay, so while we were interviewing Adrian and Clay, I saw a spider on my wall, and I grabbed Nick's thumb.
I saw
or
that.
One of those fingers, whatever finger was available first, and I squeezed it so hard because I am severely afraid of spiders. And Chris had to like literally take a headset off in the middle of the interview and go and kill it and
relocate
flush it.
Relocate it.
No, you killed it.
I relocated it.
No, please tell me you killed it because I will leave this house right now.
I relocated it.
I hate you. I hate you. I'm about to have a panic attack. Anyway,
relocated it.
So on this day in gay history, it's dead.
Relocated. On this day in gay history, brought to you, of course, by UnicornBooty.com. I said unicorn.
That was enthusiastic.
Sorry. I said duty by accident. So on this day in gay history, brought to you by UnicornDuty.com, Drew Barrymore came out as bisexual July 16th, 2003, here in the U.S. of A., the best country in America. The actress says, was this a question? The actress says, quote, do I like women sexually? Yeah, I do. Totally. I have always considered myself bisexual. I love a woman's body. I think a woman and a woman together are beautiful, just as a man and a woman together are beautiful. Being with a woman is like exploring your own body, but through someone else. End
That's
quote.
A great way to like literally look at it.
Absolutely.
And I've always loved Drew Barrymore. I love that her like life started as like a train wreck, right? Because she was like the youngster after E.T. She was like that one youngster actress that was always at all the parties drinking. She was like 14, and then you know she just grew up to be this amazing like producer and writer and actress and had such an amazing career that you know it's just great. I love her. I loved her in Ever After, one of my favorite movies she ever did.
Oh my God, mine too.
Right?
Yeah.
I love fairy tales. You're not getting yours though. Anyway.
Ouch.
That wasn't meant to be as evil. I was just saying, don't think about your fairy tale, girl. Money. Get it.
No spiders were harmed.
No spiders. All right, listen, we got to go. If you love the show, make sure to rate and review the show on your favorite podcasting service. This helps others know about the show and ensure it becomes more visible within our podcasting community. By subscribing to the show, you get the latest and greatest of our show delivered right to your favorite device or web browser as soon as the episode is published. You can also support us on Patreon. Patreon is a service that allows you, our listeners, to support our show with a pledge donation. Those donations are collected monthly and can be in any denomination of a dollar or more. Chris?
And next week, we welcome... Is that supposed to say Cooper?
Cooper.
Yes.
I was like, all this is hard for me to read. Anyway, I'm going to go ahead and go for it. Next week, we welcome Cooper with Life on the Swing Set, author of A Life Less Monogamous and Approaching the Swingularity, novels about swinging and polygamy, and more life on the swing set.
And my life on the swing set.
Oh, my life. Okay, the one I get right is actually spelled correctly. My Life on the Swing Set, Adventures in Swinging and Polygamy, a memoir.
We are really exploring the whole, like, the more is merrier thing on the show.
We should really start exploring Merriam-Webster because those words
are... Okay, so those are also titles, right? So those titles don't necessarily have to be spelt right because they are saying something within them.
Uh-huh, Christopher.
Including the name Copper. But you know.
That I didn't write. It's Cooper Beckett, and we're super excited to have him on the show. He's a huge podcaster, and he's connected us to By the By podcast and a few other people that we've connected through him. He's been doing this for years, and I cannot wait to chat with him. That being said, thank you to our guest, Adrian and Clay, for joining us on today's show. We will, of course, keep you all up to date with any news regarding their case and hope to have them on again soon.
Absolutely. Christopher?
Can we put a rubber on this?
Please do.
Because words are getting hard.
Honey, they've been getting hard since the beginning.
That was the most difficult thing I've had to do in my life.
Go for it.
Alrighty. As always, our show is available on our website, gaytalk20.com, under show and episodes. It is also available as a free download on iTunes, Google Play Music, and Stitcher Radio.
Nick announces, you can find us on social media. Facebook, GayTalk2.0. Instagram, GayTalk2.0. Twitter, at GayTalk20. You can email us at GayTalk2.0@gmail.com. Tom, take it away.
And if you need to reach out to us, just head on over to our website. Click on the Contact Us tab at the top of your web browser, where you can leave comments, suggest topics, submit a question for the cast, or submit a question for an individual host. You can also call us and leave us a question on voicemail. You can do so by calling 334-GAY-TALK, and if you need the numbers, that's 334-429-8255. Do not forget that we stream live every Monday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and you can access that live stream by visiting digitalstreamradio.com. Ladies and gentlemen, that is our show. Thank you, and y'all have a good night. Bye!
Thank you for listening to this episode of Gay Talk 2.0. Tune in next time for more dish.